Facebook ads are quickly becoming a staple of almost every successful social media strategy. They have the power to benefit your business or brand on so many different levels. From understanding your target audience to driving sales to raising brand awareness, Facebook ads are a compelling way to spend your social advertising dollars.
You know, they have a lot of great proprietary data. So, you know, anyone who has a Facebook profile inputs their age, gender, location. And then on top of that, you also get to see what people are interested in and what they like and when they move and when they travel. So there's so many different data points that we're able to capture and target based on.
That's Mary Rykaczewski, paid social manager at the fast-growing startup ClassPass. Mary knows firsthand how running a successful Facebook ad campaign is easier said than done.
We probably have around 500 ads running. So we run in every single city, with every single audience, with different creatives that we test.
Facebook advertising has been an integral part of growing ClassPass's customer base. So we want to know, what would you learn from running 500 Facebook ads at the same time? I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, the show where we experiment, share stories, and explore the intriguing world of social media. Consider us your sandbox for new ideas. Let's kick things off with episode number 44 of our social media exploration. Thank you so much for joining us on The Science of Social Media today, Mary. We're really excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's really funny. The first time I heard about ClassPass, I think it was actually through a Facebook ad, and that's what we're talking about today. So it's all come full circle. They're definitely working. Well, let's start there. ClassPass, I feel like I've seen the most of ClassPass on Facebook. So how early on in ClassPass's life did you start doing paid ads on Facebook?
Yeah, sure. So ClassPass is a relatively new startup, but we've grown very quickly in the first couple of years. So it was founded in 2013 as originally known as Classtivity. And Facebook advertising actually began just a few months after it was established. So I've only been at ClassPass for the last 8 months or so, but I know that paid social was one of the first channels that we've used in terms of paid acquisition. And since then, it has only grown as an integral part of our media mix.
That's really wonderful. Would you say that it's the top channel or the best channel for customer acquisition for ClassPass right now?
I would say so. I think that, you know, we're also scaling a lot of our other channels. Paid social, in addition to search, though, I would say are probably our two largest paid channels. You know, search obviously is picking up on people who are showing the intent, so it works really well for us as well. But I think in terms of a prospecting platform, paid social is definitely where we scale the most and spend the most.
Very cool. And why would you say that you do spend all of that time with paid social? Why is it so important for you at ClassPass?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a couple of nuances to our business that just fit really well with paid social. One being the fact that, you know, our target demographic is definitely there. You know, our user base at this point is primarily young 20-something-year-old women. So obviously there's plenty of that on the paid social platforms. And then also, you know, we just see a lot of efficiency there. I think that a lot of the Facebook capabilities have really advanced over the years and has gotten very sophisticated in how we can target, track, and report on performance. So that's really why we've put a lot of focus and budget into that channel.
That makes lots of sense. Well, I'd love to dive in, and maybe we can explain to everyone listening what your ad setup looks like over at ClassPass, because I'm sure they're quite curious.
Yes, of course. So specific to Facebook, you know, in terms of setup, we are a very geolocated business. So in terms of where we run our campaigns, it's very specific to certain areas. So ClassPass operates in 36 different MSAs. So not only do we target just within those MSAs, but we actually target on a zip code basis because Facebook allows us to do so. And we actually target specific zip codes that have high density of our studios that are within our network. So, you know, not only do we target based on DMA, but we go even more granular and actually make sure that we only run ads in areas that make sense and areas that our potential audience would sign up for ClassPass. Because there are places like the outskirts of certain cities that, you know, it may not necessarily make sense for someone to travel a certain amount of distance to really get to a certain studio. So we're very strategic in the way that we set that up.
That's really awesome. And for anyone who's listening who might be very new to paid social, could you tell them what MSAs and DMAs are?
Yeah, sure. So those are just specific markets. So we run in the US, Australia, London, and Canada. So there are specific markets within each of those countries that we operate in. So New York, Philadelphia, LA, San Francisco, et cetera.
Very cool. And so mostly geolocated is the main way that you've set up your ads. And is it's primarily Facebook for all of your advertising? That's what we're talking about. But do you also do advertising on Twitter or on Instagram?
So we run on Facebook across both Facebook and Instagram and do some cross-platform delivery there. We are doing some light testing on Pinterest, but that is still an early channel for us. But those are definitely the three that we have a big focus on. We haven't really done too much of Twitter or Snapchat at this point.
Okay. And is the geolocating or is the way that the ads are set up, is that the main reason that Facebook and Instagram in particular are so powerful for you?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons, because our business is so location-based in nature, to be able to target at that zip code level is really important to us. But I also think there's a lot of other benefits to running on Facebook and Instagram over some of the other platforms. One being the fact that, you know, they have a lot of great proprietary data. So, you know, anyone who has a Facebook profile inputs their age, gender, location. And then on top of that, you also get to see what people are interested in and what they like and when they move and when they travel. So there's so many different data points that we're able to capture and target based on, which I think is a great benefit to running on Facebook. I also think it's just in terms of the advertising capabilities, a lot more mature than some of the other platforms. So, you know, people are really used to seeing ads on Facebook at this point versus, you know, maybe when they see them on another platform. And because of that, they're more apt to click off and travel to a site. Whereas, you know, if ads are new on another social platform, they may get a little bit more annoyed and not necessarily have as strong of a click-through rate as we see on the platform.
It's also interesting that you bring up all of the proprietary data points that they have, because I think it's something that we all talk about in the general social media sphere, you know, like Facebook knows everything about you. But I think maybe in advertising, you get that even more, where it's like, you know, exactly if you can really define your target demographic, then you can find them through Facebook.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it in terms of our business. You know, we're a workout solution. So when we see people who, you know, recently get engaged or moved to a new city, these are big opportunities for us to teach someone about ClassPass and the capabilities and the fact that they could be their new workout solution in a new city or a way to get in shape for a wedding. So there's a lot of different things that we can leverage there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Those are very specific. So it sounds like you have really dug into your target demographic to come up with these really key points where it's a good idea for them to know about ClassPass at that point. And I'd love to know a little bit more behind that thinking. How did you come up with your target demographic in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, when the business first started, it was really get as many users on the platform as possible. But as our business has kind of scaled and grown, we're able to really take a look at our current user base to see, you know, those that are really enjoying the product and who are using it, and really using our current user base to figure out who we should be going after. So I think a big tool that's easy to use for anyone is the audience insights that Facebook provides. So via that, you can actually just look at your current fan base and people who are already fans of your brand, and see who those people are, and what's their age breakdown, what's their gender breakdown, and things like that. And that can kind of give you your first inkling of, you know, what your customer base looks like and people that you may want to go after who look similar to that. So we do a lot of that. And then, you know, we obviously want to scale on that. So we'll use a lot of our CRM data, whether it be, you know, email leads or people that are already on the platform. And we'll also create lookalike audiences based off of that. So basically taking a list of all of the emails of people on ClassPass, uploading it to Facebook, and then creating those lookalike models. So people who share similar attributes and characteristics as the people who already are members.
That is very cool. The lookalike audiences one sounds like a really key tip for anyone that's getting started out with Facebook ads.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest no-brainers in terms of if you're looking for ways to scale and find people that are similar to your user base. The only thing that I would preface in terms of creating those audiences is don't just take your full CRM list of everyone who's a user of your brand. Really look for segmented subsets of your user base. So people who have the highest lifetime value. You know, for ClassPass, we'll kind of dig up the data and find users who use the platform the most. So those who go to the most classes or those who refer the most friends. And those are really the people who are the most valuable to us. And those are the ones that we want to create the lookalike models off of, not just everyone on the platform.
That absolutely makes sense. And do you kind of change your demographic within Facebook when you're advertising quite frequently? Do you adjust it based on new information or go in and look for those new segments? Or have you really found that, like, you found one that works and you stick to that?
It's a little bit of both. We have evergreen targets that we use year long, but we're constantly testing things, finding new audiences. You know, in terms of the way that we target, because we are so geo-targeted, we can't really afford to just go after the same user base over and over again. We really have to get creative in different target audiences. And knowing that they may not generate, you know, better performance, but they're a new untapped audience, and it's more about making them aware and educating them on our product.
It's really interesting that you mentioned the geo-targeted, because that's so true. There are only so many people within the locations. I mean, you did mention 36, so I'm assuming there are a lot of people in these locations, and probably a lot that fit your target demographic. But how often do you maybe rotate the ads so that you're not always targeting the same people or always sharing the same message with them?
Yeah, so we will update our creative bi-monthly. So we'll start with fresh creative at the beginning of the month and refresh it by the middle of the month. And in terms of rotating in new audiences with every creative refresh, we always try and insert at least 1 to 2 new audiences to test. So just being able to keep your testing on a regular cadence and being able to consistently kind of tap into new markets keeps things really fresh.
Yeah, very cool. I like how you mentioned testing on a regular basis, because things are always shifting, especially on social media, especially on Facebook. Maybe if something works once, you don't know, but maybe if it works a couple of times, you can take a few more cues from that. Do you run lots of experiments and tests like this?
Yeah, we definitely do. I think especially working at a startup, and, you know, our product itself is changing. So, you know, we're not only just studio fitness. We also have, you know, gym time on the platform. We have on-demand video. We have user-generated experiences. So as the product starts to grow, we also try and think about, you know, new target audiences we could potentially hit with those product updates. So it may not be people who just like studio fitness anymore. It may be people who This could be a real gym solution, who go to the gym, people who like on-demand workout videos, people who like to play pickup games of soccer. So it's really interesting kind of coordinating with our product team and making sure that we are tapping into new markets as the product itself evolves.
All right, and we've touched on this a little bit, but I'd really like to lay it out for people step by step. So you're going to put together a Facebook ad and you have to target your audience to them. Where do you start?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that you want to think about is who is your target market? Who is the potential target market? So like I said, really taking a look at audience insights, your current user base, and figuring out who you want to go after. And then beyond that, really thinking about the objective of your campaign. So, you know, at ClassPass, we're very direct response oriented, and similar to like a lot of e-commerce businesses where we want people to take a direct action on our site. And because of that, we do have a big focus on retargeting. So showing ads to people who have already been to our site. But at the same time, if you had an objective that was awareness, I'd actually say to exclude retargeting and only go after people who have never heard of your brand or have never been to your site. So I think the objective can really tweak the way that you target as well. And then finally, related to the geo-targeting is where does your business operate? So can anyone access your brand via e-commerce? Or do you have specific geo restrictions? And you want to make sure that you really only spend those media dollars in those areas so you don't really waste any media spend on relevant or non-relevant people who may not really be potential customers.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And at what point does, I know that design is a different team, but at what point do they come in? I'm just curious.
So we work with the design team on a bi-month basis. So we will pull creative reports, and then based on what we know, we'll start to ideate and brainstorm on new ad units to test. So it's very data-driven here. We definitely don't just create different assets on a whim. We look at what works, and we kind of build on that. And, you know, obviously with paid social, there's always new ad units to try. The products are constantly changing. So we do try and stay relevant and test, you know, video and Canvas and a lot of the new things that they're rolling out as well.
That's really awesome. And it sounds like, based on what you're talking about, you might have a pretty big paid social team, or I really can't even decide. It sounds like you have lots going on and you all know exactly what you're doing, but I'm curious how big your team is.
So in terms of paid social specifically, I am the only one who runs the campaigns on our end, but we do have a third party social platform that we work with, and they're great support in terms of going to for advice or strategy questions. And then we obviously have our internal design team who cranks out assets for not only paid social, but for display and a lot of our acquisition channels. So yeah, but in terms of paid social, it's just me.
Wow, that's really impressive, Mary.
Thank you.
I want to jump back to, so it's very cool that you're the only one doing paid social at ClassPass, and that makes me feel like it's more accessible. Like Facebook ads can sometimes seem like these very daunting things if people don't know how to use them. So if someone who's just getting started with Facebook ads were to kick it off, I think it's encouraging to know that you're the one that focuses on this. Although I know that it is your full-time job, so it's not like it's only a few hours a week for you. But what are the main things that you would say to someone who has maybe never put a Facebook ad out before and it's only part of their job?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the great thing about Facebook is that it's a really low barrier to entry. So in terms of, you know, what that recommended first budget is, you can really work with whatever you have. You know, here at ClassPass, we obviously have big budgets. We spend over six figures a month on our Facebook budget.
Wow.
But I think in terms of, you know, I've worked at agencies before and I've had clients who spend as little as, you know, like $500 a month. So in terms of the scale, you can really make the most out of any budget that you really have. And in terms of setup, I mean, Facebook makes it pretty easy for you when you're first setting up a first campaign. So it's really based around what your objective is, whether it be to drive people to your store, generate brand awareness, or get website clicks. Facebook really orients the campaign setup around what that objective is. And then I'd say that I think the biggest thing that we're learning here at ClassPass is, the creative itself. You know, everyone's used to seeing ads on Facebook and Instagram at this point. So what is it that's really going to make someone who's going through a scroll to really stop and look at your ad? And I think that's important, really important to note during the creative process, is to make things that are worth stopping, whether it be video or, you know, we'll use a lot of promo messaging and really thinking about what would make you stop.
That's a really good way to put it, is what would think about making you stop. And I'm sure you've run lots of experiments with this as well in terms of which ones convert the most.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What we do at ClassPass is we're very heavy on promo messaging, which obviously works well. Everyone loves a deal. So we see a lot of people interested in that. And then just recently, we've also been doing a ton of new testing with video because for obvious reasons, I think it's a lot more high impact. I think if you can make it really exciting in the first couple of seconds, that people are willing to stop and watch.
Awesome. I feel like we've really dug in here into how to geo-target and just specifically how to target these Facebook ads. Was there anything else you wanted to mention on that? Are there any areas I didn't ask you about?
I mean, I would say the one thing to keep in mind when you are setting up your different targets is the way that we look at it at ClassPass is we look at it via a funnel. So we consider those at the bottom of the media funnel to be those that have already been to the site, know about ClassPass, are very close to converting. And those are always going to be the best people in terms of your target audience that are going to convert. But I think it's also important to really think about the top of the funnel. So people who don't know about your brand and have never been to your site before. And while the performance may not look the best there because they're a harder sell, I think it's really important to also keep some broad targeting in any campaign because, you know, retargeting is very limited by those who have been to your site. You can only retarget those who have already traveled to your site and left. So in order to replenish and refuel that retargeting pool, you have to make sure that there's some component of prospecting. So people that you reach through interest targeting or lookalike audiences and making sure that, you know, you're still generating that new traffic to the site every day.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is especially breaking it down by top of the funnel versus bottom of the funnel. How many different types of ads or how many different ads in general do you run at one time?
Oh, goodness. we probably have around 500 ads running.
Whoa. Well, I guess that's all your cities.
Yeah. So we run in every single city with every single audience with different creatives that we test. So it sounds like a lot, but I don't. I by no means manually build every single one of those ads. Again, we work with like a social third party where we can thankfully make all of these different combinations and automate the creation of the ads. Otherwise, I'd probably be here 24 hours a day.
Wow. Okay. It definitely sounds like that automation part is very key if you're going to be running more than a few ads at once.
Yeah. If you have full-blown campaigns, it really helps to have a third-party tool that can kind of automate the creation of your different combinations.
Awesome. Are you open to chatting about what tool it is that you use?
Sure. We use Nanigans.
Okay. Awesome.
And they've been really great in terms of working with us and partnering on strategy. And again, I think I wouldn't be able to maintain the amount of manual work that it would require to run all of those ads if it weren't for Nanigans.
I think that we're going to get a couple of people tweeting us and just saying like 500 ads at once is a lot. Or, I mean, I would love to know from everyone in the audience if they run Facebook ads, how many they run at once, because this is very fascinating to me. I don't think we run very many Facebook ads at Buffer. We tend to focus a little bit more on the organic social. So this is all very interesting to us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, if you think about it, it's, you know, every single market that you run in, it is every single target audience that you want to run, all the creatives that you want to test. So when you really combine all of those different factors, that's what gets us to that like 500 ad count.
Yeah, that's still very cool to me. And so Nanigans is one of the tools that you use. Are there any others that you'd want to mention?
That's all we use in terms of our third party. We still do log into Facebook Ads Manager on a daily basis and take a look at some of the tools that Facebook have directly. I think they've really been building a lot of great tools recently, including like the planning section of Ads Manager, the audience insights, and obviously all of like the pixel placing and tracking goes on there. So I'm still very much so in the weeds of Ads Manager as well.
Very cool. Well, I'd love to end the podcast with three takeaways from you, Mary. What are your top three lessons for efficiently targeting Facebook ads? I feel like you definitely shared more than that, but if you could leave everyone with your top three.
Sure. So I think number one, specific to our business, is definitely geo-targeting. So be as strategic as possible about where you spend your dollars. You know, if you have a small budget, you can especially afford to be as highly targeted as possible. So that would definitely be number one. I think number two kind of relates back to that full funnel. So make sure that you're really feeding the funnel with new users in order to have a big enough pool to retarget against. I think a lot of the times people focus a little bit too much on retargeting because it performs so well, and they kind of forget the fact that, you know, they're still not really driving more interest in incremental target audience. So I definitely say that would be number two. And then finally, I think number three is more of a setup and logistics takeaway. But as you're starting to think about all of the different audiences that you want to target, make sure that you take care of any audience overlap. So that's something that we face with a lot at ClassPass, is with so many audiences, really making sure that you're not actually competing against yourself. You know, you're already competing with everyone else out there. You don't want to be bidding against your own ads. So, you know, when you're running retargeting, or if you're running prospecting, make sure that you exclude your retargeting. You know, when you run lookalikes and you run broad targeting, make sure the broad targets exclude the lookalikes. Just little things like that that can really make sure that every dollar that you spend is incremental and helping you scale, versus, like I said, competing against yourself and kind of holding back your potential delivery.
Those are all amazing. Thank you so much, Mary.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
A huge thank you to Mary for sharing all of these awesome and actionable social media insights on Facebook advertising. You can check out all of the great stuff that ClassPass has to offer at classpass.com and relive all of the fun quotes and moments from this show at buffer.com/podcast. Thank you for joining us for another interview. Please stop by on social media and let us know what you think using the hashtag BufferPodcast. We're at Buffer pretty much everywhere on social. Or you can reach out to me, Haley Griffiths, as at Haley Marie, H-A-I-L-L-E-Y-M-A-R-I. Until next week, happy advertising.